Welcome to a very special bonus episode of Podcast Against Antisemitism. We have not returned yet for our fifth season, but in the meantime, we wanted to bring you this. As we continue to process the news in Israel and pray for the swift rescue of the hostages, antisemitism is surging in the UK. On our streets, on our campuses and online, in our workplaces, schools, and even in the playground, we are seeing the glorification of terrorism and anti-Semitic hate, and on our television screens, our national broadcaster cannot bring itself to call terror by its name. That's why this week's episode will be with Noah Abrahams, a BBC reporter who left the corporation after its refusal to describe Hamas as terrorists. At Campaign Against Antisemitism, we have been mobilizing. The fight back has begun. The volunteers of our demonstration and event monitoring unit have gathered evidence from the demonstrations this past weekend and over the past week. We have also heard from you, our supporters, in unprecedented numbers, receiving a constant flow of messages and tips. Our staff and volunteers have worked around the clock to monitor, document and process evidence, and we have referred a multitude of individuals and organisations to the police and regulatory authorities. And we continue to do so at a rapid pace. If they fail to act, we will hold them to account. If you have information that you would like to share with us, please email investigations@antisemitism.org. We have also written to the BBC about its refusal to describe Hamas as terrorists. We've called for Ofcom to intervene, and we have led the national media campaign to pressure the broadcaster to call terror by its name. We have also requested that the Culture, Media and Sport Committee hold an urgent hearing. And as of tonight, Monday the 16th of October, we will be co-sponsoring a rally at 6:30 outside BBC's broadcasting house in London. We have also written to the FA and Premier League to express our disgust at the decision not to illuminate Wembley Stadium and to prohibit the waving of Israeli flags at matches this past weekend. We have launched a billboard campaign around London featuring the faces of infants and children taken hostage by Hamas as part of a campaign to ensure that the public does not so quickly forget not only those murdered by the terrorists, but also those still in their clutches. It is a frightening prospect, but the same ideology that brought about the horrors in the south of Israel is present in the UK. Our fight here is part of the same war that our brethren are fighting in Israel. It is simply another front, and we need the resources to fight back. As a volunteer-led organization, our priority is manpower. This week, we have mobilized a huge number of new volunteers to ensure that everybody who can play a part has the opportunity to do so. Thank you to the many of you who have stepped forward, and if you want to join them, please visit antisemitism.org/mobilize. Still, we are a charity, and the surge in demand for our services means that we must raise funds to meet it. We must also prepare for what may come next, while the support from the UK government and authorities and the support that we are seeing for Israel and the Jewish community is welcome. History shows that it may be transient. We have the resources in place now to ensure that their words translate into action over the weeks and months ahead. And so to that end, we are launching an urgent crowdfunding appeal this week. We recognise that we are not the only worthy cause asking for your help at this time, and any support that you can contribute will go directly to the fight against those who mean harm to our people. And if you want to make a donation right now, please visit antisemitism.org/donate. This is the worst situation faced by Jews worldwide since 2014, which is when Campaign Against Antisemitism were founded. As an organization and as a community, we are incomparably better placed to wage it, but we need your help to do so. Those who glorify terrorism and delight in the massacre of Jews, and those who use the events still unfolding as cover for anti-Semitic acts should be under no misapprehension. We will pursue justice against you. Now, With all that being said, please enjoy this week's episode of Podcast Against Antisemitism. My guest today is Noah Abrahams, a BBC reporter who has decided to quit because the BBC has refused to describe Hamas as terrorists. Noah was a sports reporter for the BBC, but in the wake of the horrors inflicted by Hamas upon innocent people in Israel, he has decided to put his morals first. Noah, thank you so much for being here. And how are you doing during this time?
Well, I don't think anyone's great during this time. I think everyone is struggling in their own way to contemplate what's happening in Israel and in Northwest London, where I am, and in the Western world. It's really, really been a very difficult time. I'm as well as I can be, and I'm very thankful that I'm okay and that my family are too, but my hearts go out to everyone who's not.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all feel that way. It's a very scary time for the community. And many in the community are angry and dismayed. And some of that anger has been directed towards the BBC for its refusal to condemn Hamas as terrorists. Now, before we get on to that, I just want to ask you a bit of background. How long were you at the BBC and what has it been like working there?
I started at the BBC in 2019 and then COVID happened. And then I went on a break from the BBC because of the difficulty for working for anyone during COVID. I went and did some other stuff with the Press Association. And then in 2021, got back involved with the BBC and was there consistently from 2021 through to the last couple of days. I was at the BBC alongside my university and I rose the ranks from being a broadcast assistant, which is the lowest you can get, really, just sending out tweets and messing around with audio, to commentating on Football League football in League One, League Two, and the National League, the FA Cup, and I got to a pretty high level. So it's with a very, very heavy heart that I left, but I stick by my morals and I have no regrets.
Well, I want to ask you a bit about that decision, because it seemed like you were sort of living the dream. It's a pretty sweet gig. You're a sports reporter for the BBC. Can you sort of walk us through how you made that decision? And was it difficult? Was it easy?
A very difficult decision. This is my life. Life's work and aspirations on the line here. Every boy's dream, if you don't become a football player, if you love football, more often than not, is to become a commentator. So you get that gig in your loving life. You can't believe your luck. You go to university and you know how many people want your job. Everyone wants your job. And so you're very privileged. And I understand and understood that privilege of being in a position of responsibility as a football commentator. However, I can no longer stand by the BBC stance with the terminology they use on Israel. I don't agree with it. I don't understand how they can defend it. And Ellie, this shouldn't be the story. The story is the atrocities happening in Israel. The stories are the hostages who are being held, the families who have been victimized, who are becoming victims. This isn't the story. This shouldn't be the story. But the BBC have made it into one. And I was seething when I made my decision. And I was so angry that I felt like I could no longer continue to represent an organization that I feel does not fairly represent the situation.
Well, I don't think you're alone in that anger and in that feeling. I think many people would find your decision most laudable. Campaign Against Antisemitism and other Jewish groups and figures have repeatedly called for the BBC to describe Hamas as a terrorist group, not least given that they are legally a proscribed terrorist organization in this country. For you, why is it so important that the BBC acknowledges Hamas and terrorists? And by not doing so, what message are the BBC sending?
By not doing so, we don't distinguish what terrorists are. There will be, as there are in every war, innocent people. Hamas are terrorists. They have nothing to do with people going out to buy their milk in the morning. They are not militants. They are not freedom fighters. Let's break down the connotations of a freedom fighter. The BBC are the most influential broadcaster on the planet. I don't think there's much argument to be had around that. And so when a broadcaster, a corporation so influential, print and broadcast words such as freedom fighter, people get the wrong message. And if you take word for word what the BBC prints and what the BBC say, then there will be people who won't be understanding of the situation. And they might think freedom fighter, okay, they're a freedom fighter. Is that a good thing? It's not clear enough. We're not distinguishing what these people are. The government have asked the BBC to be clear in their terminology. The Defence Secretary, seven former culture secretaries have asked the BBC, along with the Chief Rabbi, along with me, and along with everyone else campaigning against them, to use the correct terminology. And the BBC's refusal to do so is blurring impartiality. These aren't visceral issues, Ellie. This is as serious as it gets. This is Tim Davey, who is the top dog at the BBC, ignoring government advice, ignoring what I know people inside the BBC are asking of him. There's a very famous quote. It's the task of a leader is to get his people from where they are to where they have not been. And I would invite Tim Davey, who is the Director General of the BBC, to do just that.
And to add to your point, I don't believe the BBC or anyone else would ever refer to ISIS as freedom fighters or militants. And the things that Hamas are doing, many feel, is on par with ISIS.
Well, quite. I mean, it is, isn't it? They're a terrorist organization who are terrorizing. That is the literal meaning of being a terrorist. They are on par with ISIS. I've read a lot about the morning after 9/11 and the way that was covered. Why isn't this being covered with the same sensitivity? Every story is different, of course. Every tragedy is different. But why hasn't this story been respected? And it's not even, it's not a story. It's an issue of humanity. I read in the newspaper this morning a lady describing this as the second Holocaust, with her mother being taken hostage. This is serious stuff. And the BBC, by failing to call them terrorists, are not understanding the situation, in my view.
Now, unfortunately, it's not just the BBC that the Jewish community feels let down by. I want to ask you about the football industry. As a Jewish sports reporter, what are your thoughts on the decision not to light up Wembley Stadium with the Israeli flag when they have done so in the past, notably when they lit it up with the French flag in 2015 following the Bataclan massacre?
Well, of course, it's not a decision I agree with. More recently, that they've lit up the arch in the colours of the Ukrainian flag. The FA are going for a period of silence. That is the FA's approach. Well, let me tell you, as you know, as all other broadcasters and anyone else who speaks up for human rights and what they believe in knows, silence will get you nowhere. Silence is to speak no words. This is all about words. The reason I left the BBC is because I will take a stance. It's because I believe in words, I believe in terminology, and I believe that they are fundamental to the English language. And it's not the stance the BBC have taken. They've chosen to speak. The BBC have chosen to speak. They are using the wrong terminology. The FA's refusal to speak in itself is a huge issue. Where is the common sense, for one? And where is the ability to adequately adapt to the world we're living in, Ellie? Everyone knows what's happening in Israel. I don't understand how the BBC won't go with the correct terminology and how the FA won't light up the Wembley Arch. And I know we're going to come on to more sporting issues. But I think the sporting world would be too slow to react, and when they are reacting, and not doing enough.
Hey, if you want to stay up to date with the fight against anti-Semitism, why not subscribe to Campaign Against Anti-Semitism? Visit antisemitism.org/act or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. Speaking more broadly, how do you feel anti-Semitism in football is dealt with generally?
Well, I get this question a lot as a Jewish football reporter. I often hear the chants at Tottenham and at West Ham and across the board when Tottenham play any other Premier League football team. And I often hear the slander towards Jewish supporting football teams. I know there have been multiple bans in place over the years over the word that begins with a Y that we all know. But what the bans and the reinforcements toward that word haven't done very much. You still hear it every time you go to any North London stadium. And I don't think people understand the severity of that word. And again, it's all coming around to words. This is all about words, and people will brush off words, but they are, like I've said, fundamental to the English language and how we think and how we act and how we react. And when one stumbles across terminology such as the word used at football or those being used by the BBC, it sends an inappropriate and completely inaccurate message.
So going forward, what do you think groups like the BBC, like the FA, now need to do to regain the trust of the Jewish community?
Well, the BBC can change. They are not above change. No one is above change. So the BBC can change their stance. And they don't need to write an apology with it. They don't need to have an explanation for changing it. They can just change their stance and do the right thing. So that is what the BBC can do. In terms of the FA, well, why haven't they lit up the arch in solidarity with Israel? It's a big gesture, but also a small one. And it's a gesture of goodwill. They've released their statement. I've read it. I've seen it. But to be silent is not enough. Silence does not show your solidarity. Silence is the lack of words, the lack of meaning. Let's have some meaning. Let's light up the Wembley Arch. There will be black armbands worn this weekend in the Premier League, and I think that's great. I don't have any criticism of that. But when it all kicked off in Ukraine, everyone was up in arms, and rightly so, because what's happening in Ukraine is awful as well. But I do not see the same reaction and the same response. I was at the Everton FA Cup game when Boreham Wood played Everton in the Cup. It was the first time I'd been at football where all players came out wearing Ukrainian flags around their shoulders. Why hasn't that been done? Perhaps it would kickstart and cause too much hate in the stands. I don't know. But something more needs to be done, Ellie. And I'm pleased with the black armbands, but there needs to be more.
Especially at a time now when everyone knows how fearful and on edge the Jewish community in Britain is. I mean, at the time of this recording, I believe 4 Jewish schools have closed until Monday owing to fears surrounding anti-Semitism. There was a viral video of 2 women tearing down posters of missing hostages in Gaza and Israel. As a Jewish person, what are you feeling right now? How does this affect your Jewish identity? Does it make you want to sort of be more proud, or does it sort of actually make you say, you know what, maybe I should tuck in my mug and David?
No, I would never tuck in my mug and David. But I understand why people do. And I understand why people have taken their jewelry off and taken their necklaces off. And I understand the call from schools for Jewish school children and students not to wear blazers with the Jewish badge or emblem, if that's I think JFS has a mezuzah, I'm not sure, but and Yavne has Ivrit, the Hebrew, on their letters, and I understand that there is plenty of hate going around in this world at the moment, and I do completely agree with the stance of erring on the side of caution. I will never hide away my Jewish identity personally. I think this is a time where I've seen our community come together more strongly than ever. I've never seen Jewish people unite like they have. I remember when I was a lot younger in 2014, when the boys went and were taken hostage and eventually kidnapped and killed in Gaza. I remember the response and how proud I was to be Jewish. And I think this time around, I'm even prouder. I think it's incredible the way the Jewish community has come together. I know that people are ripping mezuzahs off doors. I know that Jewish shops are being vandalized. I know how much hate there is in the world at the moment. But my message is that when they take away kindness, when they destroy kindness, we put it back in. It's our job. People say to me, are we helpless in this? Well, in some regards, yes, we are. We can share things on social media. We can speak out, as I've done, and I've only done this. I really don't care about headlines or whatever. I've done this because of my morals. But what I say to people is be kind to one another. That is how we combat the hate. That is how we combat the terrorism. You put a bit of kindness back into the world, Ellie.
I think that's absolutely right. And now I'm going to ask you a question now that I ask all of our guests, which is, if someone who is not Jewish comes to you and says that they want to help in the fight against anti-Semitism, where should they start?
I think they start by education, through education. I think social media, I know social media is the most powerful platform, and everyone has social media, or 99% of the population will have social media. Everyone my age does. And that is where you start. And the reason I've often been, if you follow me on Instagram, where I have sort of my bigger following, you will know that this is the first time I have really ever posted on social media outside of sport. And the reason I decided to do that was because I know, having gathered most of my following in non-Jewish communities, the importance of sharing on social media. I think one can always educate on socials. I think you can also educate in person. I think it's important you spread messages in your WhatsApp groups around your friends. I think it's important that we use the right language, we use the right terminology, and this is where it goes back to the BBC. And I don't think you can necessarily point fingers at those who are referring to, people who watch the BBC and then refer to Hamas as freedom fighters. If they know no better, then where are we to point fingers? We're there to educate. We can point fingers at the BBC for leading them down that path and down that direction and into that channel. But if someone says to me, Noah, how can we help? I'd say you start by educating, you be kind. And if you see something, shout up about it.
Absolutely right. And if you are looking for an educational social media resource, I encourage our listeners who have not yet done so to follow us on all platforms at Antisemitism. Noah, I'm about to ask you my final question that I ask. And you've just quit your job, so this may be a bit of a weird question, but what have you got going on? What have you got coming up? And where can people find you?
Well, people can find me on Noah Abs Official on Instagram, on Twitter, Noah Abrahams. You'll find me on Twitter at the moment, that's for sure. At the moment, at the time of recording, I've got a lot of interviews going on because I think it's really important that the message gets spread. I'm a big advocate for freedom of speech, but this is something completely different. This is how we use speech correctly. And so I will be advocating that in the next few days and perhaps weeks to come. And moving forwards, hopefully, I will find other opportunities in sport and climb my way back to the position I had at the BBC. So get back to that level of football reporting. But I can only ask everyone to be kind to each other, and I send my love to everyone affected.
Noah, you've put your morals first. You've done something that many in and out of the Jewish community will find very impressive. I want to sincerely thank you during this time for coming on Podcast Against Antisemitism.
Thank you, Ellie. I appreciate your time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Podcast Against Antisemitism. If you did, please subscribe and leave us a nice rating, or email any feedback to podcast@antisemitism.org.